All right, it is our 7 o'clock hour, and in this hour, we got a couple of fun things to do. What is, Al, did Fox, the network Fox,
right?
Did they help the Eagles win? They had a great shot of one turnover and a bad shot of a missed catch.
They missed that
did
catch.
They screw that up?
Mm.
There are even theories, Ria's learned, that there's conspiracy going on.
Oh, yes.
There's conspiracy theories about that. And also in this hour, we're going to show this video. We're going to put it out on Twitter. There was a play where Nick Bosa not only got owned by Jordan Mailata, but Barrett was showing me the proper technique. When you are on top of a player, Al, and do not move, you must keep your hands tucked. On the line, you know who knows all this? Ross Tucker, Al. He was in the NFL for 8 years in offensive line, and he is brought to you by First Trunk Trust Bank, the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles. Hi, Ross.
Angelo, what's up, man?
Oh, your voice. Ooh. What happened, Ross?
Both my daughters are sick.
Oh.
Yeah, and actually, it'll get better as the day goes, but early in the morning, it's dicey.
All right, we'll call you around noon. All right, let's start with this. Who would you rather interview, Ross, Nick Sirianni or Andy Reid?
Ooh, I think Sirianni. You know, Andy, I love Andy. I really do. But some of his jokes about the food and stuff, it's like he always goes to the same well all the time with the food stuff. Whereas Sirianni, you really never know what you're going to get.
Yep. Good answer. Who would you rather play for?
That's tough. So far, I would love to play for either one of them, I guess. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about either one of those guys so far.
Oh, you missed the first hour of the show.
No, he means as a player.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Ross. Barrett Brooks, who would you rather play for, Reed or Sirianni?
I'd rather play for Sirianni. You know,
thank you.
You know, he's more Stoutland. Vibrant at this
you
point.
You don't understand yet, Ross, that Andy Reid is a friggin' fraud. You still have not picked that up yet, that Princeton education did not get you to that point yet.
Angelo, that is one thing that you and I will never agree on. I like Andy a lot. I will say this. I like the way Sirianni, like, stared down the camera and stuff.
Yes.
I think I like the way Sirianni got so mad in the preseason when that Jets dude knocked Jalen Hurts out of bounds.
Oh, he wouldn't want to go after Saleh.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'll go Sirianni.
All right, let's see. He's coming around now. Let me get to what happened to Purdy first series. All right, but you once that happened, and he was obviously not going to be able to throw the ball. Was the game over at that point, Ross?
No, because Josh Johnson came in. The Eagles could not move the ball. McCaffrey had an incredible touchdown run, and it was 7-7. So, no, the game was not over at that point. Now, when it was 21-7 at the end of the first half, I did thought the game was just about over. And I was with Aaron Andrews as we walked into the Niners off the field. She asked Kyle Shanahan if Purdy was going to come back, and he said, I'm told it's a no. But I also, Angelo, I heard Niners players saying, keep your head up, keep your head up. I can tell you from experience, as soon as the players start saying, keep your head up, you're dead, you're done.
Oh, really? That's right. Interesting. All right, here's the one thing, though, I noticed. All right, so they hit Purdy, and you couldn't tell initially, Ross, that it was a fumble because it re-hit his arm after it got pried loose by Reddick. And then you had the Devontae play, where you couldn't tell right away either until you saw a different angle. The fact that Nick challenged the Purdy play and Shanahan did not challenge the Devontae play, that was a huge kind of a juxtaposition of two coaches in big moments, wasn't it?
Gigantic. And there's other parts of it too there. Number one is the Eagles being well-coached enough that they immediately got on the ball after the Devontae play and snapped it. That is coaching, Angelo. Mm. That matters a lot. They didn't give Shanahan, or for that matter, Fox, enough time to show any other angles. So they didn't really have the information, whereas the Purdy play was third down, so there was enough time for the Eagles to get multiple looks at it before they challenged it. So, and not only that, then Sirianni goes for it on fourth and one at his own 34, which was very ballsy. Sirianni had a great game, Angela. I mean, Sirianni.
No, he did.
Because you get concerned about, you know, he's pretty inexperienced. It's only his second year. First time in a game like that. He clearly got the better of Shanahan in that game.
No doubt. But let's look at that fourth and one again, all right? They don't have a quarterback. You're giving them points if you don't make that because they got a great kicker, and it's going to be a 50-yarder if they don't gain a yard. Is that a smart move, 7-7 second quarter, taking that risk?
Well, they've been so good, just so, so good in those situations all year that I think it is. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact numbers that they have in terms of percentage and how many of those they make, but it's a really, really high percentage. So they would not have done it. They would not have gone for it unless the numbers were very much in their favor.
It worked. Anyway, one more. Hurts was not great in that game, Russ. Nobody would say he was. Should we be concerned about that, wondering if the arm is okay?
Well, there's different ways to look at it, right? I mean, he was not great. I will tell you, it was pretty windy. Like, there were gusts of wind on the sideline, which I don't think helped. I look at it as very encouraging that they won by so much without him playing that great. Mm. But to your point, I don't think they beat the Chiefs unless he plays better.
Yeah.
He's going to have to play better for them to beat the Chiefs.
It's a great matchup, and we will be getting into that next week. Hopefully your voice will be better. Ross, rest yourself. Thank you for doing this under adverse conditions. You're awesome. Thank you, Ross.
See you guys.
Ross Tucker out.
Is he on tomorrow?
Yes,
you
Al.
Think he was? I don't know if he is. That's up to you. I'm not. You know, I'm a doctor. I get Wednesdays off. I don't know anything about it. All right, now let's turn our attention to the behavior of the San Francisco 49er fans.
They are not. Well, yeah.
What is wrong with them? Now, we have had other fan bases come in here and raise a ruckus, but not to the extent of these people. On the line with us is a emailer named Carolyn, who showed me, she sent to me photographs of what the Niner fans did to her car in the parking lot. Hi, Carolyn. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you, Angelo?
Carolyn, let's start. You went to the game. Where did you park?
FDR Park.
Mm. Okay. All right. So you had a nice little trek down to the link.
Yep.
Is everybody able to identify that you were an Eagles fan from your car?
Well, I was wearing my Eagles overalls and a Eagle-shaped hat, so definitely could tell. We were all decked out. We parked, and a 49ers fan parked next to us, but we were doing our own thing. We were tailgating. We didn't even say a thing to them. They just got out of their car and went away, so we didn't even interact with them, but they definitely knew we were Eagles fans.
All right, and there was no exchange of any kind. Were they acting rowdy? Did they appear drunk?
They did.
Oh, there you go.
They did.
Yep.
And when they were walking to the link, you could hear them being booed the whole way on that walk from FDR.
All right, when you arrived back at your car after that scintillating victory, Caroline, what did you say?
We got to the car, and we were one of the last cars there because we were celebrating. And we got there, and my dad went to go in the passenger side, and he's like, "What's this on our car?" And it was a giant 49 keyed into the passenger side door. And then on the driver's side, they keyed it horizontal the whole way.
I got to tell you, first of all, it wasn't even keyed to me. It was gouged out.
Pretty much.
That's major body work to fix that. Carolyn, what car do you have and how old is it?
We have a Subaru. I believe it's newer. It's like a 2019, 2020 Subaru with my dad's car. I offered to drive us down there in his car, so I felt guilty that that happened to him. You know, but he still said, you know, this was still the best night of my life.
Oh, wait. Everybody stop right there.
Wow.
Carolyn, you had your car screwed up by a bunch of drunken Niner fans. And your reaction, the reaction of your father, a lifelong Eagle fan, was it was still the best night of your life. That tells you all you need to know about the Eagle fan.
That's all you need.
Oh, your dad is awesome, Carol. What a fine man. Now, is there any way we could identify these punks? Because I could send Barrett Brooks there to kick their ass from here to San Francisco. I don't think he could. Barry, you could bury those guys.
And I'll do it for free, too.
They wouldn't buy. And you know what? They wouldn't go near your car.
Oh, come on, man. Come on now.
Come on. Oh, Carolyn, and here's the thing, Al. Oh, what a shock it must have been to these Niner fans that there were Eagle fans going to the home game.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're locals, fine
right.
Niner fans.
Right, Carolyn, here's what we're going to do. Send me again those photos. I'm going to post them on the WIP Twitter account so people in our city could see the real hooligans. It's not the Eagles fans. It's those jackasses.
And maybe somebody saw them doing it and took pictures of them, and we can post those and catch them.
And if somebody observed this after you see the car, we would like information leading to the apprehension of these people so that they can pay for the damage.
Does insurance cover that, or you got to pay a deductible?
We're not sure yet, but it's gonna be pretty steep, we think.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's well, let me assure you, if we can identify who it was, Barrett Brooks will fly to San Francisco and kick their ass. Right, Barrett?
Come on, man. I mean, I want to do something to their Golden Gate Bridge right now.
He's heading down toward Arizona anyway. It's not that far from there. Carolyn, thank you for sharing that thing. Send me those photos, or I want to post them.
Absolutely. You got it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Carolyn.
That's terrible.
Al, those guys came in. I mean, they don't even know how to act. They're challenging the most passionate sports city in America with hooligan activities. And then when they find out that we're retaliating, like spitting on those talk show hosts who gave out their exact section where they'd be sitting.
That was bright.
What did they expect to happen? Did they want a round of free drinks?
Well, they shouldn't have got spitted on. Is that a word?
Spit on. No, spit they on. Shouldn't have.
They shouldn't have.
No, I don't agree.
You don't
with
spit
the
on people.
No. I know, but sometimes when you're yelling at somebody, it kind of spritzes a little.
One finger hello is okay.
Yeah.
It might have been a spritz. You've seen during the COVID rear, a lot of little particles come flying out when you're yelling. You didn't notice that?
But I mean, you got the key in a car. I mean, somebody should have. Yeah.
Somebody should have seen that.
I would bet they live here, too.
Yeah.
They're not from out of town.
Oh, really?
Well, they parked it. You know,
at FDR.
They are going
the
FDR.
Yeah, so
right, let's find these right people.
Maybe there's a car that was parked by the because it wouldn't be on if the car's not on.
I always take pictures sometimes of the people next to me.
All right,
I do too.
I do it because I go to the Wells Fargo. Yeah. So
all right, not yet, right? Jimmy, not yet. Okay, all right, hold on. Let me get Jimmy up here real quick. He wants to help Carolyn. Jimmy, how can you help Carolyn?
Listen, guys, I have a body shop. Couple body shop. I am not going to say the name. I'm a season ticket holder. 49ers. They're rude. I will fix your car for free, guys. Oh. Let's get this done.
Oh, no. I will not allow that unless you mention your body shop because you deserve credit for this, Jimmy.
Tanner Auto Body.
What's it again? Say it slower.
Tanner, T-A-N-N-E-R Avenue Auto Body.
All right. There you go. Jimmy. Thank you. Hold on. Carolyn, I'm an email. I'll put you guys together. You are a tremendous man, Jimmy. Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you.
I knew that would take 2 seconds.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Because that's expensive.
Carolyn, that guy's going
both
to
sides.
Fix it.
They did both sides of the
that's
both
awful.
Sides. Yeah. They gouged it, too. They're going to have to do a lot there, Al.
I'm not
a body guy. I don't know what it is.
I'm about to call Jimmy, too. I got to get my truck painted. So
there it is.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not getting a free one either. You're very wealthy.
Come on, I'd pay.
I saw the money. You already got 150 extra when you went to Detroit. 215-592-9494. When we return, Al, This is weird how TV had a direct effect on the game the Eagles won on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talk about whether or not we're putting too much reliance on TV networks today. All right, 7:23. Nice, easy question today on our question of the day, because I am trying to take a temperature. What I am attempting to do here, ladies and gentlemen, is put Andy Reid off the table by dealing with him today and my own hatred for him. And make no mistake, it is a blood hatred. And the feelings of our city toward him, we are split ourselves. Rhea and I can't stand him. Ava goes along with whatever Rhea says.
It's not
Barrett
true.
Brooks and Al Morganti are in favor.
That comes from her dad.
All right, anyway.
This one was from my dad. But
your dad
yes.
hated Andy Reid.
Yeah, and since him and Rhea right. agreed on it.
So how did the people in this city feel?
Brought to you by Armin Chevrolet of Ardmore. Minor fender bender or major accident. Armin Chevrolet's Collision Center will make it right. Certified service, ArminChevy.com. Do you like Chiefs head coach Andy Reid? 76% say yes.
All right, you 76%, please spell stupid for me.
Maybe you should wait to retire.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D, stupid. Oh, my God, 76%. What am I supposed to do with that?
Well, you could either acknowledge your defeat or you could just keep charging on.
What do you think he's going to do,
Keep
Al?
Charging on.
Charging on. I'm going to double down on my failure.
Yeah, there's a shot.
That's how
it's the mail-in ballot.
All right. Anyway, I want to play. Nick Sirianni's coming out at 8:30 today, and he's going to explain how they really did exploit Kyle Shanahan's indecisiveness at a critical moment early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Smith on fourth down
mm-hmm.
makes a catch that mm-hmm. is incredible.
Unbelievable.
One hand, full extension, brings it into his body, lands right near the sideline. And as he lands, he's on the ground. He suddenly decides we really should snap the next play ASAP. And he signals by bumping his fists together, go right to the line.
Mm-hmm.
This, Barrett, would indicate to me he is not certain it was a legal catch.
Absolutely.
All right. So at that point, since it's fourth down, shouldn't the other coach, knowing nothing else, seeing no video, say, I'm going to use a challenge here and try to get this stopped?
Just off instincts, just like Devontae Smith. He knew situational awareness. That's what Nick does. He teaches and coaches situational awareness. Evidently, he didn't get the memo. You know, I thought Shanahan was supposed to be this guru coach, was going to out-coach Sirianni. It seems like he got out-coached the entirety of this game.
Mm-hmm. Well, last night on the Brandon Graham show at Chickies and Pete's, Jordan Mailata was there. And he actually explained what the process is when something like that happens.
Yeah, that was a hell of a play by Smitty on both fronts, mentally and physically. And you see the catch, you're just like, what the hell? But when you see him get up from the catch immediately, you know, we have a protocol where if it's like if he's unsure that he's caught it, to get up and we all race to the line to get set, get a play in so they can't call it. And that's what we did, you know, and A lot of people don't understand situational awareness. That's where you got to, you know, coaches got to be like, got to throw that flag quicker, man.
Yeah.
Hey, finger on the trigger.
So he's saying that Shanahan should have thrown the flag.
Yeah.
Here's why Shanahan did it.
We didn't see it. So there's a play clock. You got 40 seconds. They're going to get it off, and they got it off. I was going to throw it anyway. I was just hoping. But it looked like he caught it, and then they show a replay up there. But it ended up looking like a catch on the replay, too.
But that then they had a second replay.
Yeah.
And the second replay showed clearly that as he was landing, the ball was jarred out of his hand, hit the ground, sandwiched between the ground and his stomach, and he cradled it in, jumped up, went back to snap the ball. The Eagles end up with a touchdown on
this
series.
Yeah.
They would not be getting that touchdown. Here's what I'm trying to understand,
mm-hmm.
all right? If he himself is not sure, if Fox had that second replay quicker,
mm-hmm.
would they have challenged?
Yeah.
If the second replay went up on the board at the link, he would have challenged.
Yes, I would think.
The fact that it took Fox an extra couple of seconds gave the Eagles their first touchdown. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
But then the onus becomes on this network rather than on anyone else.
They're
going
to get it as quick as they can. I mean, they have to go through their angles, too, on what they have. Plus, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought they introduced that expedience thing.
Yeah,
that
but they
expedited
review, but I guess they didn't have review either.
I didn't see it happen in the whole weekend this weekend. No. But if they had an expedited review, they could have blown the whistle.
That's what I thought.
They did not do that. Well, no one saw it until it was too late.
So a billion-dollar industry is relying upon a producer at Fox to get them a replay.
When we used to argue about this a long time ago, before they introduced it, the argument people made is the TV network will end up having a bearing on who wins a game.
They had a bearing on the punt.
punt, we still don't know if it hit the wire.
Yeah, okay.
They did not have any shot of a punt hitting their wire. It's their wire.
But you know what? What goes on with what they show inside the stadium is different from what they show on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Now to us,
right?
You know, we just see, you know, because it wasn't like to like the sixth replay did we see that he didn't catch the ball.
Right.
But inside the stadium, that's actually the Eagles people that are controlling that. It's the inside.
Right, what about the coaches in the Niners box who are reviewing?
They dropped
it.
The ball because they have it. Yeah, they have those views. I also worked inside the truck. I was a producer inside the truck.
Oh, okay.
And all they do is like, you know, say, all right, let me see. Replay. Who has the replay? It might be on gold. It might be on blue. It might be on silver. It might be on camera 3, number 1. They look and see where's the best replay at. And they're calling out these guys on Elvis's.
Wow.
They really figure out who's got the best read, and they tell them. Then they get it up. They lunched on it. Fox lunched on it inside the truck by not getting up the best view.
Well, that helped the Eagles, but the other guys could have still gotten it.
He, just like you said, he should have thrown the flag regardless. It was a big play.
Wow.
Huge play.
Garrett, with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, that's being reviewed.
Yes, it is. Less than 2 minutes.
It wouldn't happen.
That's why it's crazy.
In a scoring play, it would be reviewed.
Wouldn't have happened, but you're raising a point about the expedited review is fascinating because they were catching stuff like that the previous weekend.
Well, yeah.
I didn't see it used in the whole thing. Maybe they stopped doing it after the 1 week.
I guess plus your reputation, you're a receiver like that, you think you can actually do it.
I don't know.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing how that all played out. Brian's on the line next. Hi, Bri.
How you doing, Angelo?
Do you enjoy Andy Reid?
No, I don't. I actually, last night, I was listening to the Howard Eskimo Eskin show, and he was saying Andy Reid's a better coach than Sirianni.
He did say that? Could you hear smooch sounds in the background while he was kissing Reid's ass?
Oh, God.
And I actually watched the replay of the game, the Chiefs and the Bengals, and I think, like, throughout that game, they left the whole middle of the field wide open. So I think we could take advantage of that.
I'll tell you what. First of all, the Eagles ran for 148 yards, something like that, against the best run defense in football. I think the Eagles can put up 200 against the Chiefs just on the ground.
Yeah, easily,
the Eagles, this is what people are still fighting. The Eagles' strength offensively is still running the football because those big boys up front, they create holes out. Mm-hmm. Did you see Sanders go right up the middle for the touchdown?
Untouched. Yep.
Untouched. That is great blocking to make that happen. Great blocking.
Unbelievable.
And there are you did that for a living, Barrett. They are tremendous at run blocking.
There's nothing that's most disheartening to a defense than this. You can't stop the run. I mean, it just kills a defense because they start looking at each other like, what are we going to do? We can't stop the bleeding. Plus, it controls the clock. Best thing in football for an offensive lineman is to run the ball.
I love the run. Brian, give me a word to describe Andy Reid.
I got dreadful.
Dreadful. I'll put that down. Now, Al's the judge, and Al kind of likes him. Mm-hmm. So you might want to put some positive words in there just in case. Because we never know it, Al. You can't read Al. He's weird. Let me go next to Lou in Mount Law. Hi, Lou.
Hey, good morning. I cannot believe or fathom that anybody who watched him for 14 years remotely has anything positive to say about him. How many times did we lose to inferior teams that we should have beat? Angelo, by the time he left, we should have had 3 or 4 Super Bowls easily.
Lou, and besides that, his manner, he was a robot. He wouldn't answer questions. He wouldn't take you into his world. He never really became a Philadelphia the way Nick did in the first 6 months. How do people not see this? Lou, I don't. Are we so much smarter than the norm?
No, well, no argument on that one, Angelo. Yeah, probably.
Mount Laurel, very, very bright community. My son lives there. They're very, very smart in Mount Laurel, so that's possible. All right, Lou, give me a word to describe this mayor.
A word, because there's no feeling, no sense of connection anywhere. I'm going with empty.
Empty is a beautiful word. Lou, I have enjoyed your call. Ron's up next. Hi, Ronnie.
How you doing, young man?
Ron, I don't like San Francisco. I don't like the people. I don't like anything.
No, I'm from South Philly, but I live in Annapolis, Maryland now. What I was saying is I listened yesterday, and I'm not going to beat a dead horse all day long. I heard the excerpts from their station. So what I did, though, because Odyssey has rewired in the time difference, I was able to hear it. You know, their broadcast, and then I called their show before it was over.
Ooh.
So I told them, I said, I have one question. I was going to lie because I thought if I told them where I was from originally, they wouldn't put me on, but they did. They said, you want to take this guy? So anyway, long story short, I said, I have one question. Another two sides to the story with fan bases, but what is a fake mobster? And he went on to tell me, it's someone that talks a bad game, but they're nothing but a punk. So I said, oh, I see. I guess that's because you guys are real gangsters. And, of course, I went on to tell him
that was good.
Yeah, but I went on to tell him why, that they're real gangsters. Because, of course, as you know, Nick Bosa's great-grandfather was the head of the Chicago mobsters. He was Al Capone's driver. When Al was in Miami for the alibi, it was his great-grandfather who planned the St. Valentine's Day massacre. Ironically, he would live to, you know, his 80s, and he didn't die, you know, a violent death. He
That's surprising. I did not know this. Bosa.
When you look it up, his name was Tony Arcato.
Tony Arcato. Why isn't it Bosa?
He must have been on the mother's side. He went by Joey
this thing
Patty.
Called marriage. People take names. You're
right,
not always going to have the same name.
This is fascinating. All right, what did those morons reply when you told them about the gangster background of Joey and Nick Bosa?
I hung up. But I didn't want to give him. But it was no. But he really, his nickname. If you look, his nickname was Joey Batters. That wasn't for obvious reasons. And when they would go and interview Nick on TV, he would honestly say, I only regret, I bet we could have had interesting conversations if he had. So I decided to get that in.
That was good, Ron. You trolled those trolls. That's always fair. Ron, give me a word for Reed.
You know what? I don't want to do it because
all right.
I want to.
Fair enough. 215-592-9494. Did anyone know that? Could I get my staff here to work on that? Al, did you understand that the Boses have a connection with the mob?
Good for them.
Yeah. We're Italian, by the way. I would like to make this clear if anybody's wondering. Neither Al nor I have any affiliation with the La Casa Nostra.
No, I was with the Irish mob.
Right. I was closely affiliated with a separate committee, Al, La Casa Nostra.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That is people with large schnozzes. 215-592-9494. When we return... Al, you got to hear this. Brian Baldinger broke down a play where Nick Bosa, coincidentally, got pancaked. Oh. And this play was beautiful. You got to hear the way Baldy describes it, because Nick Bosa was not a factor in the game Sunday, and that surprised a lot of people. Hi, welcome back. In the next hour, you're going to hear from Brandon Graham and Nick Sirianni. That is pretty exciting.
Two guys that are well plugged into the public.
Boy, aren't they, though. They understand their fan base. But I just want a couple of things here. Barrett Brooks, Al.
Yeah.
He looks like a guy who could sing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a beautiful speaking voice, right, Barrett?
Yeah, but I sing like I'm going
You're not
through
good.
Puberty. Yeah.
You're not good. And Al, you told me you can't sing.
Not a lick.
Rhea, do you sing a little?
No.
Here's the test.
What is it?
All right? Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
You got the family. No, you got the family around the cake, Al, and somebody's got to lead it.
Yes.
And it should be somebody who's pretty good.
Yeah, and then I'll follow.
I have never been in a family where there was somebody who could lead it.
I lip sync.
You lip sync happy birthday?
I lip sync Fly Eagles Fly. That's how bad my voice is.
That's that bad?
Right.
All right. Should Jalen Hurts have lip sync Fly Eagles Fly on the podium?
Absolutely. Come on. Absolutely.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I just found out this morning that they were so successful with that Christmas album and the linemen that Jalen Hurts is putting out an album.
No.
And we're going to play it for you in a couple of minutes, some of the snippets from it. Jalen Hurts, Al, does your favorites.
Oh, no.
And he's hitting some tough songs, and he's nailing them. You're going to love it.
I give him credit for belting that thing out, even if it was.
You think he regrets it?
No.
Okay. No, he's having fun.
Oh, he's having fun.
Not.
You
I
win
like
a championship like that.
Down.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That was beautiful.
And his favorite singer was there to listen to him, and she's having a ball.
But the
Nita Baker? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, but just so you know, it wasn't great. Right.
She's better.
No, she's No, I swear, Anita brought him over and whispered in his ear, all right, enough of this. Don't sing. Let me do that. You quarterback, I'll sing. But here's the thing. I want to get this in, though, because Nick Bosa, we were afraid of him.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about that connection with
whatever,
the mob. Yeah. I don't know about that.
I think it's true. I think I've read it before. I don't think
But here's what I do now. His brother Joey got trolled because I saw a video of it. Mm-hmm. The fans were giving him the business.
Yeah.
And then inside, where people thought he might run roughshod because you had Lane Johnson with an adductor. And Barrett, before the show, I was showing me that's a painful thing, huh?
Absolutely. You're trying to lift your leg up, and that adductor.
Very tough.
Oh, it hurts. I mean, it hurts like heck if you just strain it, let alone rip it.
Right. So, but then we said, all right, fine. But what about when Boza lines up across from Mailata? Mailata is still learning the game. He hasn't done it that mm-hmm. long, and that's the defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
There's your weakness. It wasn't on Sunday. Mailata ate his lunch.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was a play described by Brian Balder. It has gone viral. It's everywhere. Where he will take you inside a play where Mailata not only knocks Bosa onto the ground, he then sits on him. He just plants his 360 pounds on top of Bosa. Here's the way Baldy described it.
The story here in this play, and the story of the season, is the Eagles' offensive line. That's Mailata on Nick Bosa. Now, not everybody has Mailata, but Mailata puts Bosa right on his Bosa right here. Like, and not just puts him down, but he's going to gator him. He's going to sit on him. He's going to breathe on him. He's just going to let him know we're here all day. All right? That's just the way Mailata plays, Dickerson, Kelsey, they all play the same way. Like, nobody has this mentality on the offensive line in this league like the Eagles do.
Now, we got, if we haven't tweeted out yet, we will. It's a really fun play to watch because Bosa just got pancaked.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked Barrett Brooks, who was a lineman for many years in the NFL, and I went, Barrett, you're allowed to just lie on top of the man? And you noticed something that made it legal.
Well, it was legal because the way he finished the block, his hands were inside. They were tied to his body inside the framework of Bosa's body. So it's only holding when you're outside the framework. If you're outside holding the shoulders, but if you're inside holding his pec, and when he drove into the ground, he laid on top of him, he finished the play, and their hands were inside. It's no longer a holding call. It's just you just got pancaked.
The fun part of it is the hands inside out, because normally when you're lying on top of somebody, your hands are out.
Mm-hmm.
His hands are right next to his body. It's so interesting to see, and he doesn't let him up for a long time.
And then he say he's breathing on him.
And he was breathing on him. I got to tell you, Al, if he had like garlic the night before,
mm-hmm.
Bosa was woozy for the next 5 plays. He was right on top of him. It was almost weird to see this. This was 700 pounds of mail all in one clump. It was. You got to see it. If we haven't tweeted out, we will right away so you can see that. And Baldy, Al, is he good at describing that stuff?
Perfect.
Baldy's the best. Let's go to Sean in Maryland. Hi, Sean.
Hey, good morning, Ange. Good morning, Barrett, Al, Rhea. How you doing?
Good morning, morning.
We are very pleased. We have 12 days to go, and I have 10 shows left after today.
I love it. I don't love that you're leaving because you're one of the best. But I do love the game, and I'm still on a high from Sunday.
Yeah.
And what I love most about these past two games is we've got the game well in hand in the second half, and I can party in the fourth quarter. I don't have to be worried about nothing.
I'm glad you brought that.
Beautiful,
Rhea. You were in the box, right?
Yep,
and it was decided by the fourth quarter.
Was it
a party atmosphere after that?
It was because here's what happened. So third quarter was still raucous.
Yeah,
I mean, very raucous.
fourth quarter, we began to notice that as Jalen kept handing the ball off, he would run towards the sideline so no one could even touch him.
Ah.
I mean, it was clear they weren't even trying to do anything to get anybody hurt. So it was just, and then it just became a party. It was
What was happening in the box? Were people drinking, having,
everybody
what
was
going
on? It was hard not to be in a great mood.
Yeah.
But that kind of, at halftime when it was 21-7, was it 21-7 and a half?
Yes.
It was over.
No, I know it was over. I'm just wondering how the doctors, these are some of the most prominent physicians in America, how they party.
Everybody was having a great time. We had Keith in there who won our tickets, and then Dave. Dave never stopped losing his mind, so he was fun.
Oh, that you Dave know. Guy was in there.
Yeah, with the boot.
Was he dancing? Were they?
He was great. He had his face painted. I mean, he was, you know, it was a party.
I just see, Al, I don't go to parties, so I'm still not sure what's happening in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Probably a little late to get used to it.
Yeah.
Will you when you retire?
What's that?
No.
When you retire, you're going to go to games?
I believe. I said to my wife yesterday, I think she is married to what will soon become a full-fledged hermit.
Maybe season tickets? Maybe you get season tickets.
She even asked me, do you think you'll want to go to a game next year?
Get some season tickets.
And I said, Phillies. I think what I would like to do is remain home. I get a mild form of that agoraphobia, Al, where I don't like to leave the
house.
Why
are you going to do that to her?
I don't know. She leads an active social life. Sean, give me a word for Andy Reid.
Yeah, whether you like Andy or not, he did just coach in his 10th conference championship game. He's got a ring, one of the wealthiest coaches, highest paid coaches around. Now he's doing State Farm endorsements. So I would say Andy Reid has been successful.
Successful.
He has been.
See, that's going to win with it. Al, I shouldn't have let him.
Well, don't you think the Cowboys would kill to have the kind of record that he has?
They would.
Man.
But, you know. Anyway, Al, give me the words so far to describe Andy Reid.
You have confusing, liar, indignant, stoic, loathsome, dreadful, empty, and successful.
All right. Now, before I play for you, we have a few little snippets, Al, of the new Jalen Hurts singing album.
Ah.
But just to remind you that he was a little off key when he did the Eagles fight song, here's a tiny bit of that.
Fly, Eagles!
All right, that's probably not. All right, that wasn't great. But Al, what if he put out an album the way the linemen did?
That was
for
a
Christmas?
Successful album.
It could be big, and a big holiday's coming up. Take it away.
If you like the Eagles' Christmas album, you'll love Jalen Hurts' Valentine's Day CD.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Jalen Hurts painfully covers all the hits.
I believe I can fly.
And I believe your singing
I
is putrid.
I can touch the sky.
His voice is so bad your ears will bleed, Eagles scream. It's the last gift you'll ever have to buy her.
Me and AJ Brown.
That makes two guys who can't sing. He must still be hurt. We listen to the pain in his voice.
AJ Brown.
Your Valentine will love this CD. Add a periwinkle rose and you've got the perfect romantic gift.
Crazy little thing called love.
You can tell Jalen Hurts
this thing
as he butchers all the hits.
The cries,
it's horrible. It's awful. And it's on sale now.
How deep is your love?
Jalen really hurts.
Do you ever know that you're my hero?
You'll be a bigger hero if you just stop singing. Hurts' voice is so bad, his players don't even want him to audible.
Ego, but you are the wind beneath my wings.
I've had wind beneath my shorts that sounds better than
whoa,
this.
Whoa.
Not available now at eagles.com.
Not available.
Oh, that was brutal.
See Joe Conklin's comedy show. At Holy Rosary Regional School. He's got a sense of humor, right?
You better hope.
Yeah. It's taking us to the Super Bowl, guys. We're going to go a little bit later.
I didn't do it. Conklin did it.
Jeez.
Conklin, Holy Rosary Regional School at Walton Road at Bluebell this Saturday, February 4th. For tickets, go to joeconklin.com. When we come back.